iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobal Radio, brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
Hello and welcome to the iWellness Show right here on iGlobal Radio. My name's Tony Patty and I'm joined today by Neil Shah. Neil Shah actually founded the Stress Management Society in 2003 following a personal experience that severely compromised his mental health, and with his passion and desire to make a positive difference, he's worked tirelessly and traveled the world to fulfill his mission, which is something we're going to be hearing all about today. Now, he is a highly experienced thought leader, international expert on stress management and well-being. He is an engaging and inspiring motivational speaker, and he's also got extensive expertise in the human experience and how to maximize it. He's also the author of many books, including the bestseller Introducing Neuro-Linguistic Programming and the 10-Step Stress Solution, and is currently working on his new title, The Art and Science of Happiness. And it's only right that we should invite him here onto the iWellness Show here on iGlobal Radio. Neil, a very warm welcome to you and thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tony. It's such a pleasure.
Thank you so much. So I wanted to kick off. I've given a brief sort of like profile and background into your life, but the one thing that really comes out of this is that I'm reading between the lines here. You've been through ups and downs in your life and you've now come out the other end to form this fantastic company, International Wellbeing Insights, where you look after people, culture and well-being as well, and you're also top of the game when it comes to stress management. So would I be right to say that through the ups and downs of life, through the traumas of life, you've now come this far to create this wonderful company of yours?
Yeah, so there's kind of two sides to our organization. There's the commercial arm, which is about research and consultancy, and then there's our charitable arm called the Stress Management Society, which is about empowering and inspiring people.
Yeah.
And the main reason I started that organization was I found that when I went through my challenges and, you know, I had a breakdown at the depths of which I got to the point where I didn't want to be here anymore. I actually took action against that. Thankfully, I failed. I was young. I was 27 at the time, 28. And I found there actually wasn't really much support out there for people. You know, I basically went through a period of soul searching, ended up in the Himalayas. And it was William Blake that said, when men and mountains meet, strange things happen that don't happen when you're jostling in the street.
Yes.
And that was the moment where I kind of, I guess, for want of a better description, had a bit of a spiritual epiphany where I realized everything that happened to me was a gift. There's a Native American phrase. There are two wolves, the wolf that makes you strong and the wolf that makes you weak. Which wolf are you going to feed? And when I first had my experience of going through a breakdown, I was feeding the wolf that made me weak. I found a way to be able to utilize my own personal experience as fuel to drive me forward with the passion, desire, and commitment to help other people that were going through the same kind of thing. That's why I set the charitable organization up first, and that's obviously what led us to set up the consultancy organization. It was with the desire and commitment to create a happier, healthier, more resilient world, a world that doesn't need the Stress Management Society. We're actively trying to make ourselves redundant. But, Tony, what's really sad for me is we seem to be further away from that goal today than we were when we came to existence in 2003. The world today is more challenging, more stressful, more turbulent than any point I've been working in this field. And I would never claim to be an expert or a guru. What I am is a witness. I've spent 20 years working in a field of doing research, of driving positive change. And we've had literally the opportunity to work with thousands of organizations. We've worked with several countries at a national level. We've literally had the opportunity to work with millions of people through various programs we've run. Got a good understanding of the human condition, the challenges that we face, and the kind of things that we can do to be able to address that. And particularly when we live in a world that is so divided, there's so much disharmony and polarity. The one realization I've had is there is far more that combines us, that we have far more in common than we have that separates us. And we focus on the division, race, religion, color, you know, geographical location, age, et cetera, et cetera. But when you strip all of that away, there's so much more that connects and combines us. And really, when we focus on that and we come together, we can really find ways to be able to move forward as a society, particularly at the moment where it's been exaggerated by everything that's happened over the last 18 months. And as we've been panicking about one issue, what we found is people's mental and emotional well-being has diminished even further. So we're getting further away from the goal because of the things that happened over the last 18 months.
Yeah, that must be really tough for people.
Log on to iGlobalNews.com. iGlobal, the go-to multimedia platform for and about global Indians.
iGlobal Radio is the brand new hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. News, views, interviews, wellness, money matters, and much, much more. Tune in to iGlobal Radio at iGlobalNews.com. So when you come to diagnosing the, let's say, trauma that people are going through, if I may be so bold as to use that word, if people need to be diagnosed, what are the telltale signs and where do you come in all of this?
When we talk about diagnosis, like, I need to take a bit of a step back just to help people to understand kind of the pathway.
Yeah.
If you lead a poor lifestyle, if you, you know, constantly eat junk food, smoking, drinking, you don't sleep well, you don't do the things that you know, maximize your health, your poor lifestyle will affect your health. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
When your health is compromised, do you agree you are much more susceptible to illness? And you're more likely to have a heart attack, get cancer, diabetes, stroke, etc., right? Because your poor health has exaggerated and exacerbated your chances of having a more serious illness. Now, people understand that when it comes to physical health, but when it comes to mental health, they don't look at it in the same way. So things that compromise your mental and emotional well-being, things that cause you stress, create anxiety, create fear, also affect the functioning of your body, right? Which can lead to, number one, mental health issues. So your mental health is compromised by your lifestyle and the way you're living your life. And that mental health challenge can then lead to mental illness. But here's the key thing. Things that affect your mental and emotional state can also affect the functioning of your body. So they can also affect your physical health and cause physical illness. So this is the key point I want people to understand. Most of us, when we're experiencing things that are affecting our lives, it's not yet at the point of diagnosis. You don't have an illness yet. But if you do not take care and you don't start to counter the effects of those poor lifestyle choices, over time it will lead to illness, which will need to be diagnosed. Now, our job is to be able to recognize when we are compromised, when we aren't well. Like, for example, physically, you'd be able to tell because you may have some kind of symptoms. You might find that you've got low energy. You may find that you've got aches and pains and discomfort. You can tell. But the challenge, Tony, for me, is when people are mentally and emotionally compromised, because we've been living in a state of ambient stress for such a long time, it's a normal part of life. So even though it's not normal, it's not natural, and it's not healthy, we've just accepted it. And the analogy I would offer is if I came up to you and we sat down having a conversation and I pulled out a rusty nail and I stabbed you in the leg with it, you'd be like, Neil, what the hell did you do that for? Why would you stab me in the leg with a rusty nail?
Yeah.
Right? And you'd be really upset and it would hurt. But if you left that rusty nail there for long enough and it didn't become infected, after a while, your body would heal around it, right? And even though you'd be walking around with a rusty nail in your leg, you'd get to the point where you just live with it. It would just be like normal. You just forget that it was there. It would be painful and uncomfortable, but you just learn to live with that. Then 20 years later, I meet you in the street. And it's like, oh, Tony, do you remember that day? I was a bit of an idiot and I stabbed you in the leg with a rusty nail. I'm so sorry about that. I want to make amends. I would like to pull it out. At that point, I come up to you and as I'm trying to pull the rusty nail out, you're like, Neil, what are you doing? Because the pain of removing the trauma is greater than just leaving it there. This is what we find ourselves in. We have been living under such extraordinary stress for the last 17, 18, 20 odd years since we started creating more and more technologies. The rate and pace of life has only ever started to increase. The pressure and demands are being made on us has increased. That we've basically, many of us are living with that rusty nail in the legs.
Yeah.
Then you try and teach people strategies to remove that, like, you know, digital detox, take your phone away. People go into panic. Oh my God, where's my phone? And they're literally having withdrawal symptoms. That for me is the pain and discomfort of going through cold turkey for the things that don't serve you.
Yeah.
Now, it was bad until March 2020 came along. And then what happened?
COVID.
Even though screen time, screen time was high. Now life is a video game for most of us.
Yes.
Pre-March 2020, you would have probably said, oh, Neil, come along to the studio. We'll sit down and have a coffee. We'll record this. Mm. When you've got meetings, when you've got to see clients. I used to spend my life on planes traveling to Dubai and to the States to see clients. I've not been anywhere in a really long time. So people have got accustomed to living their lives like a video game. And this is kind of where we find ourselves right now. that we're missing that kind of social engagement, the social interaction, and you know, whether that's social contact, whether that's work contact, whether everything, dating, you're socializing, kind of shopping, everything is done online.
Yeah.
As human beings, we require social interaction. We require social contact. And that's another big challenge that we're facing right now, is the technological use has gone up, which doesn't improve your health, but all the social contact
actually being around people, yeah, that's diminished. We are talking to Neil Shah, who founded the Stress Management Society in 2003 and also the founder of International Wellbeing Insights as well. And today we are talking about wellbeing.
Log on to iGlobalNews.com. iGlobal, the go-to multimedia platform for and about global Indians.
iGlobal is one-of-a-kind multimedia platform for all things global Indian, from the latest community news to the big political interviews, from entertainment and fashion to personal wealth and wellness. iGlobal is where the vibrant Indian diaspora gets seen and heard. Log on at iGlobalNews.com. So, Neil, you talked about and you had great dialogue a moment ago about recognizing the symptoms, coming up with the traumas, and then when you face the trauma, getting people out of that, it can also be a very personal and painful experience. Being physically active is something that you mentioned as well. But what about raising one's self-esteem? Because through all the maze of things that we're going to be discussing and have discussed so far, one has to have self-esteem, being willing and able to accept guidance and change, and people like yourself are helping people through these traumatic times.
If you've got to the point where you've caused yourself serious harm, it can be painful to address it. My suggestion is that if we get better at recognizing it early enough, as kind of the old adage goes, prevention is better than cure, right? So let's not wait until we're broken. It would be kind of like saying, well, I'll wait till I've had a heart attack or I've got cancer and then I'll start looking at my health, right? That would be a ridiculous thing to say. But when it comes to mental and emotional health, that's kind of the approach many people take. Well, if there's a problem, I'll fix it. No, it's kind of like you don't go to the gym when you're seriously out of weight. You kind of got to go to prevent yourself from getting seriously unhealthy and out of weight. Out of shape. Mm. So there's an analogy I'd like to share with you, and it's what we call our bridge analogy. If you imagine a bridge, let's say Tower Bridge in London, Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, Brooklyn Bridge, doesn't matter which bridge. But we start putting taxis, cars, lorries, trucks onto this bridge, and then you know, we drop a cruise ship on there, maybe HMS Belfast as well, a couple of Boeing 747s, you know, put some elephants on there, the International Space Station. If I keep going, it doesn't matter how well constructed the bridge is. Would you agree every bridge on the planet can only bear a finite amount of load?
Correct.
And when it exceeds its load-bearing capacity, the bridge will collapse. So before the bridge collapses, it will give us some signs, some clues, some feedback to suggest it's not bearing the load effectively. Because it'll start groaning, creaking, cracking, fracturing, buckling. So it's not collapsed yet, but it's threatening to do so. In that moment, you've got one of two choices, one of two things that you can do to prevent the bridge from collapsing. Either number one, remove some of that weight, get rid of the International Space Station, get rid of the cruise ship, take some of the Boeing 747s off. Or if you have no ability to take the pressure off, we can reinforce it. Concrete blocks, iron girders underneath to better equip it to bear that
but
load
that
effectively.
Isn't that suppression, just reinforcing it? Why not deal with the actual issue?
It could be, but the challenge is, you know, what if you've got a situation where the bridge has to bear that load and we don't have the option to remove it? And, you know, let's translate this to the human experience. People are exactly the same. Every single one of us has a load-bearing capacity.
Yes.
And when we get overloaded, you will see the cracks. We'll see the changes in behavior. We'll see people turning to drinks, food, alcohol, nicotine, caffeine, drugs, pharmaceuticals. They'll have these strategies, many of which are not healthy, right? So when we're cracking, that you'll start to kind of see the people's behavior change, not sleeping at night, they become more angry, more irritable, they become ill. So that's the human being buying and buckling. Now, yes, it would be easy to say, yeah, just take the pressure off. The reality is, though, many of us don't have that option. We've got responsibilities, we've got commitments, we've got jobs, we've got families. And also, many of those options have been taken away from us over the last 18 months because of the various restrictions we face. So a lot of people feel powerless. They have no choice about bearing this load. So I totally agree. In an ideal world, yes, please remove the load. fully or temporarily, but I also have to be realistic that I know some people are struggling and they don't have that option. So if that is the case, there is a secondary option, which is what can we do to strengthen the bridge? Let's just start with the load on top of the bridge. Take some time off work. You know, go see your GP, see if you can have some time where you can remove yourself from the environment that's causing the stress. If you need some breathing space at home, you know, if possible, could the kids go off to the grandparents, or you know, is there something that you can do just to alleviate pressure, or get someone in to help delegate some of your day-to-day life responsibilities for a short period of time? If there is no option you've got about the load itself, what we can do is consider what we can do to strengthen our bridge. Now, no matter what else is going on in your life, we always have the option of being able to do something to strengthen our bridge. That could be switching off, unplugging from the matrix for a while, you know, turning your phone off. What is the worst that's going to happen? Logging off your laptop.
We are talking to Neil Shah, and Neil is talking to us about well-being and looking after oneself today, and explained really well about lifting the load off oneself and taking some time out for yourself, which is very valuable information.
Log on to iGlobalNews.com. iGlobal, the go-to multimedia platform for and about global Indians.
Neil, what I'd like to ask you now is, what about paying attention to the present moment? Let's talk about mindfulness, because paying more attention to the present moment, as you quite rightly said a few moments ago, does improve your mental well-being. And this includes your thoughts, your feelings, your body, and the whole world around you. Give us some insight into that.
You know, it was Mahatma Gandhi that said 90% of the things we worry about never come to pass. So how much mental and emotional energy are we investing in things that may never happen? People are fretting about, oh, there might be another lockdown. This might happen. That might happen. Maybe I'm going to book a holiday and not going to be able to go. And here's the thing. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have thoughts and contingency plans around the future, but actually, how much of our emotional energy are we investing into things that have already happened in the past, or we're stressing about things that haven't happened yet? Particularly in this moment, we find ourselves living in a dystopian Black Mirror version of reality where walking outside your front door is more fantastical than anything you can find on Netflix. It's a very strange paradigm we find ourselves in, and you can very easily get lost and consumed by that.
Yeah.
Where do you have your power? Right here, right now. You have full autonomy over your thoughts, feelings, actions, your behaviors. These are yours. People may restrict and take some of your choices around what you can do, when you can do it, who you can do it with, how you can do it, what to wear whilst you're doing it. Yes, those external choices can be taken away from you, but nobody can take away your internal autonomy. And this is really something that is super important, because as we spend more time practicing being in the present, our thoughts and feelings about the past and the future start to change. It was John Kabat-Zinn, who's the father of modern mindfulness, that stated that mindfulness is literally being present in the moment with no judgment. There's no right, there's no wrong. It's just observing the reality of this moment as it is, not as you want it to be.
Log on to iGlobalNews.com. iGlobal, the go-to multimedia platform for and about global Indians.
iGlobal Radio is the brand new hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. News, views, interviews, wellness, money matters, and much, much more. Tune in to iGlobal Radio at iGlobalNews.com. There are many different ways to well-being, which are many different ways of the sets of evidence that you've very kindly shared with us today in this program, based on public mental health, messages aimed at improving the mental health and well-being of the whole population. And we've been through major dilemmas over the past certainly 18 months and years now, may I mention that. But at the same time, the aims of your work to the people that you're serving requires a great deal of understanding. Now, that understanding to me is largely built up on connecting, and that is connecting with people, telling someone about, hang on, you know, I'm not feeling too good, I'm feeling really stressed out. Seeing somebody like Neil Shah to say, okay, how do I go about it? And you might turn around and say, okay, be active, take the stairs, not the lift. Taking notice of what the situation is and reminding yourself that to take notice in the first place, which can actually strengthen and broaden awareness, which is something we've learned from you today, Neil. And what about the learning part of it? Because out of all of this, in our closing minutes that we do have together, Neil, what is there to learn out of all of this? What comes out of all of this at the end of the day?
The first thing I'm going to start with, it's okay to not be okay. We live in a world where it's not okay to not be okay, where, you know, particularly, you know, a lot for men, where you kind of just got to pull your socks up and get on with it, be strong, grow men don't cry, you just soldier on. And we do really have a bit of a challenge with this. The vulnerability is seen as a weakness, not a strength. I think we need to get more comfortable with the fact that every single one of us in any given moment is going to be struggling. There are times where everything will be wonderful and there'll be times where you'll be really struggling. That is okay. It's not a permanent state of affairs. It's not a weakness. So the recognition that there are times where things will challenge us and will compromise us. And, you know, well-being is if you have poor well-being, it's because you have learned some poor behaviors and habits over the years.
Yeah.
And you aren't taking the time for it. Now, whatever you've learned, you can unlearn and relearn. It's not like some people are born more resilient than others. It's not like some people are better equipped to manage stress.
So it's never too late. It's never too late, you're saying.
Of course, it's never too late. And taking the time to number one, not beat yourself up, to be able to put your hand up and admit when you're struggling, and asking for help, for me, is a strength, not a weakness. Being able to put your hand up and say, you know what, yes, I am struggling, I am finding this difficult, and seeking out the help. And if you do that early enough, you can prevent yourself from getting to a point where you ever have a more serious issue. Going back to the bridge analogy, our verbal definition of the bridge is where demand exceeds resources. So if the demands that you're being subjected to exceeds your capacity to cope with that, you have one of two choices: remove the demand or increase your resources. One thing we all need to consider in the world we find ourselves in today, what can we do to increase our resources? The world is more challenging and more stressful than at any point I can remember in my whole entire life with all of the different things that are going on. So if you are not taking the time to increase your capacity and your skills and your confidence to be able to navigate these strange, uncertain times we find ourselves in, you may find that you're going to suffer the consequences. So this is something I encourage everybody to do.
Thank you for listening to iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. Find out more on iglobalnews.com.
Neil Shah, you are the founder of the Stress Management Society and also International Wellbeing Insights. And if people want to find out more about what you do and what your company does, how do they go about getting in touch with you?
Well, thanks for asking. They can find us on the internet at www.stress.org.uk or www.wellbeing.work if it's more about sort of workplace factors. We're on all the main social media channels, so you can find us on pretty much every social media channel as well. We look forward to hearing from anyone that would like to find out about the work that we do.
iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iglobalnews.com.